Hello, party people, and welcome to the Media Boat Podcast for the week of April 23rd, 2024. This is episode 432, and if you don't know what we do here, we are a podcast that brings you news and thoughts about media, including movies, video games, music, and television, but not necessarily in that order. In fact, definitely not in that order. I just lied to you. I am a liar. It's pathologic. I don't know what to do. Anyway, welcome. Let's go right into the show. Why not? As we always start with music, and we always start the music section with the Billboard charts. We start with the Billboard Hot 100. The hottest song in the land this week is Too Sweet by Hozier. Fun fact about Too Sweet. Contrary to what our cultural memory might want to say, Take Me to Church, Hozier's last biggest song, never hit number one. It never made it. So Too Sweet is Hozier's first number one and officially is a higher charting single than Take Me to Church ever was. So congratulations to Hozier. Coming in at number two right behind him, Like That by Future, Metro Boomin, and Kendrick Lamar, dropping down from the top spot last week. Number three, Beautiful Things by Benson Boone. Number four, Lose Control by Teddy Swims. And number five, Texas Hold'em by Beyonce. The rest of your top five stayed put from last week. Moving on to our Billboard 200 chart, that's the albums chart. Your number one album this week is We Still Don't Trust You by Future and Metro Boomin. This, of course, is the expanded version of We Don't Trust You by Future and Metro Boomin. Which, by the way, is number three on this list. Yes, somehow Future and Metro Boomin, from releasing a deluxe version of the same record, means that that record is twice on the top five of the Billboard 200 this week. Can't say that the charts never surprise us anymore. That's definitely a surprise. In between that, sandwiched between Metro Boomin and Future, is Cowboy Carter by Beyonce at number two. Number four, skipping ahead, One Thing at a Time by Morgan Wallen. And number five, Stick Season by Noah Kahan. That is your Billboard charts. What if you don't like any of those? Well, good news is we have new releases. Forgiveness Is Yours by Fat White Family. Havdi by Havdi, Light Verse by Iron and Wine, Hyperdrama by Justice, Nonetheless by Pet Shop Boys, yes, those Pet Shop Boys, Dennis by Sega Bodega, which is just so much fun to say, and All Born Screaming by Saint Vincent, yes, that Saint Vincent. So, good variety of new releases this week. If you're wondering about a certain artist that we're going to talk about in just a moment here, that will hit the charts next week. So hold your horses and wait. Next up is music news. And the big headline this week is that, yes, just like every year, we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees announcement that was made this week. And we have our new inductees for 2024. This year, they include Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool & the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. I mean, sounds like a solid group to me. I mean, we talked about the nominations for these a few weeks ago, but seeing this as the actual inductee list makes a lot of sense. I like that it spans a lot of genres and spans decades. I like we have some representation from more recent times. You know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, including Dave Matthews Band and Mary J. Blige, and then some 70s acts like Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Ozzy Osbourne being inducted as a solo artist, because I believe Black Sabbath is already in as a band, and A Tribe Called Quest holding it down for rap, which is always good to see. And yes, we knew about Cher. That was kind of the biggest headline, kind of an OG when it comes to rock music. She's been there for almost 5 or 6 decades now. So this makes sense to see her. So yeah, welcome to everybody, all the new inductees. So that's it for music news. We'll move into thoughts. Yep, it's time. The Media Vote podcast has a reputation, no pun intended, for talking a lot about Taylor Swift. But I've spared you. Well, kind of. Let me explain. I spared you the long, you know, diatribe. I'm not going to rant much about Taylor's new 11th album, The Tortured Poets Department, here on this podcast. I instead wrote nearly 4 pages, 2,800 words, about the album on a post on the website. So if you go to mediavotepodcast.com, you can find my write-up about Tortured Poets. I go way more in-depth with how I feel there. If you're wondering how Mike feels about it, well, stay tuned to our YouTube channel, because tonight I will not only be uploading this episode that I'm recording right now, but I will also upload his a little thoughts video that he created that includes his thoughts about Tortured Poets. So that will be going up alongside this show as kind of a companion. So look forward to that tonight. So, yeah. Anyways. So yeah, what I'll say on this show, since I should say something about it, I understand why this record is very divisive. If you've been paying attention to the reaction, it is very, either extremely positive or it is extremely negative. Or not extremely negative, but like, there seems to be a sense of disappointment between critics and also a lot of fans of Taylor. It's a bitter album, it is a dark album, it is an album that is somewhat about a tortured relationship as much as it is about a tortured existence, almost, where Taylor felt like she needed to get some things out, feelings, whether it may be about reacting to the fans' reaction to some of the choices she's made. It is a lot. In fact, it's so much that she had to do twice as much music as she planned. If you weren't paying attention to the release on Friday, you might not know that the album overnight became a double album, and she put out 15 extra tracks, which she has titled The Tortured Poets Department, The Anthology, on streaming services as a companion piece to the proper album. As a whole, it makes for a very long 2-hour-plus package. So if you have the endurance, it's worth listening to see the different kind of things she wanted to do on part one as opposed to part two. Again, I go into it more depth on the website. So the last thing I will say is I like a lot about it. I like a lot of the things that she's done here. I think it's cool that she's continuing to experiment with new sounds. I don't know if it's as adventurous as I think people were hoping it would be. It doesn't expand beyond the kinds of sounds that she's been making for the last few records as much as I think people would like her to. It's an evolution, I think, on the sound of Midnight. It's not necessarily a transformation, not necessarily something new. So if you're looking for something to blow your mind, this probably isn't it. Also, if you're looking for Taylor in, like, premium pop mode and making bangers, this is also not that. I think a lot of people don't know how to feel about this thing, and it'll be really interesting throughout the rest of the year to see how this is, and from here on out, to see how this is treated and how Taylor treats it in kind of the legacy of her records. But yeah, if you want to read my full thoughts, go on to mediavotepodcast.com. And if you want to listen to Mike's thoughts, go to YouTube and find that video of his that will be going up tonight. That's enough about Taylor. Let's move on into the second part of the show, which is video games. And we always start that section with the new releases. First up, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba Sweep the Board! Exclamation point, which is coming out on Switch. Sandland, the adaptation of the Akira Toriyama manga, coming out on PC, PS5, PS4, and Xbox Series X this week. Stellar Blade, that would be the much talked about on certain video game spaces, Souls-like, Nier-like, Korean-developed hack-and-slash game. That's coming out on PS5 this week. Top Spin 2K25 for all you tennis fans out there. PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, and Xbox One. Saga Emerald Beyond hits PC, PS5, PS4, and Switch. Euden Chronicle, /100 Heroes, PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Lunar Lander Beyond for PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Switch. Phantom Fury for PC. Tales of Kinzera Zao, that's on PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, and Xbox and Switch. And lastly, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade, Wrath of the Mutants, on PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Switch. A lot coming out this week. Let's move on to video game news. And yes, we do unfortunately have to talk about the Embracer Group again. Though, something weird happened with them this week. They didn't get bigger. They broke up into small chunks. Swedish game and media holding company Embracer Group has announced its plans to split into three separate entities. The group will separate into three companies: Asmodee, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Each of which will be listed as a separate company on the Nasdaq Stockholm. As part of the separation process, Embracer has entered into a new financing agreement through Asmodee, which is worth 900 million euros. Embracer says the proceeds from this will, quote, repay existing debt and reduce leverage on the remaining Embracer Group, end quote. Asmodee will continue to operate as a publisher and distributor of board games, trading cards, and digital board games, and will consist of 23 fully owned studios. Coffee Stain and Friends will focus on PC, console, and mobile games, including, quote, community-driven free-to-play games, live ops games, and indie/AA games, end quote. It will operate under premium and free-to-play divisions. The premium segment will consist of Coffee Stain, the developer that they had previously purchased, THQ Nordic, Ghost Ship, Tuxedo Labs, Tarsier, Amplifier Game Invest, and others. Finally, that last bit, Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, will be a creative powerhouse in AAA game development and publishing for PC/console, and will own the Lord of the Rings and Tomb Raider IPs, along with the likes of Dead Island, Metro, and Kingdom Come Deliverance. Studios joining Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends include Crystal Dynamics, Dambuster, Eidos Montreal, Flying Wild Hog, Tripwire, Vertigo Games, Warhorse Studios, and 4A Games. So, this is a way for, I guess, Embracer to save some money, write out some of that debt. It's a way to organize their different pieces into larger pieces that make sense to them. Like, put AAA development here, put free-to-play and smaller indie development there, put the board game stuff here. It makes sense to kind of have those as separate little fiefdoms so they can do business separately. So yeah, this isn't super surprising. The funniest bit is the naming convention they're using here. I saw a lot of people on Twitter make Garfield and Friends jokes, which is apt. It's just so funny to call it Coffee Stain and Friends and Middle Earth and Friends. It's absurd. It's just silly. And Embracer continues to name things. I mean, their name is Embracer. They themselves have a weird name. Like, Embracer? No one wants to be embraced by something they don't know, by like some sort of strange entity. It's just not... I don't know. It just never made sense to me. So there you go. That's the Embracer news this week, and that's video game news for this week. So that means we can safely move away from video games. Although, a quick video game bit for y'all. If any of you are of the Rock Band persuasion, as I am, you might be interested to know that Fortnite Festival starts at Season 3 today, and they finally turned on the Switch for Rock Band guitars compatibility. So that means if you have a Rock Band guitar, you may be able to use that in Fortnite Festival starting today. Little caveat to this, if you're playing Fortnite on PC, you have to have a PC adapter that works with either the Rock Band 4 guitar for the Xbox or the Rock Band 4 guitar for the PlayStation consoles. They aren't immediately interoperable. Some older guitars might work as a PC peripheral, but the Rock Band 4 guitars specifically are not supported. However, PDP put out a new guitar designed for Fortnite Festival that works with PC and Xbox or PC and PS and PlayStation platforms. However, it keeps selling out. It's about $129, but every time it hits Amazon or GameStop, they just go up in a fit of smoke. So if you're trying to get one of those, it looks like it's going to be a hard road ahead. That being said, if you have, like me, a Rock Band 4 set that you bought when Rock Band 4 originally came out, you can play on Xbox Series X with that controller, and it should work. I say should because I'm going to give it a try after I'm done recording here. So maybe next week I'll talk a little bit about playing the Fortnite Festival songs with a guitar controller. So stay tuned. All right, that's it for video games. So let's move on to the second half of the show where we start the television section, as always, with the Sports Corner. First up in league headlines in the Sports Corner this week, fire up your Kevin Costners because it's draft day. Well, not today, but Thursday. Thursday the 25th of April will be draft day for the NFL. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. All eyes will be on the Chicago Bears to see what they do about their quarterback situation. So do they draft a quarterback in the first round? We'll see. So stay tuned to that if you care about the new NFL season coming next year. Meanwhile, in baseball, we have the AL East making headlines as they have all their teams over 500. So a very competitive division, the AL East. Meanwhile, other divisions aren't so stellar. The AL West, meanwhile, is looking pretty brutal. Not a whole lot of competition there if you're not the Texas Rangers. Moving on to the NBA. The Warriors have already been eliminated from the playoffs. So that means that you will not see the Golden State Warriors get yet another championship this year. It might be the final time that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson even play together on the same team. So, if you are a Warriors fan, this might be the last moment in history that you get to see this specific Warriors team do what they do. So, there's that. Meanwhile, though, not everything is stellar in the world of basketball. Jonte Porter got a lifetime ban this week from a gambling scandal involving a $1.1 million bet, points shaving, and insider information. So betting on sports still continues to be a headline in actual sports. Whether or not the leagues will actually start cracking down on this is unknown, beyond the suspensions that you see here or investigations if you're talking about the recent baseball scandal. As long as these leagues are in bed with these betting companies, I think it's going to be a really tough conversation to continue having. So this will just continue as it has been, I think. It will just continue tiptoeing around this issue, even though it's becoming quite an issue. Well, we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, in hockey, the New York Rangers won the best regular season record for the regular season this year. 55 wins, 23 losses, and 4 ties. So, congratulations to the Rangers. The NHL playoffs continue. So, we'll keep you all updated in the future with who is going to be the major competitors there. Last, but certainly not least, if you care about college football, new rules will make college football at the NCAA level more like the NFL, including coach-to-player pre-snap communication, up to 18 tablets per team during games, so they can look at game footage, I'm guessing, and 2-minute warning timeouts in the second and fourth quarters. I actually didn't know that those timeouts were not in college football, so now they will be. So, yeah, we'll have to see the upcoming season how this affects college play. Hopefully for the better. All right, let's move out of sports and into television news. Our television story of the week is about a familiar face for people who love streaming things in the background on Netflix. Yes, The Office classic sitcom The Office is in the news this week. A new Greg Daniels and Michael Koeman comedy series set in the Office universe has locked in its first two stars. Domhnall Gleeson, previously from The Patient, and Sabrina Impacciori, previously from White Lotus, will be part of an ensemble for the show. Details regarding their roles are still under wraps. The Office studio Universal Television declined to comment on the story, other than to confirm that the project remains in development. The prospective new series, which is not a reboot of The Office, is said to be set in a new office with new characters, but live within the same world as the mockumentary series of the fictional Dunder Mifflin Paper Company. This makes sense. I mean, there's no reason to reboot The Office. You've been there, done that, and those characters went through everything that they went through, and you don't really need to revisit that world. However, there are opportunities to mingle in that universe and make a similar show with similar vibes, and that makes more sense to me than just the straight reboot. So, cool. Seems like a good idea, and I'm sure NBC or whoever picks this up, or maybe it'll just end up being streaming. Actually, yeah, it'll probably just end up being streaming. What am I talking about? No one wants new shows on regular network television anymore. They don't even do that anymore. Anyway, let's move on. So, that was your television news this week. Let's talk about some cancellations and renewals, shall we? First up in cancellations this week, we have So Help Me Todd, canceled after two seasons on CBS. CSI Vegas, canceled after four seasons on CBS. Netflix has announced that the fifth season of The Witcher, which is upcoming, will be its final. And in the world of renewals, For All Mankind will get a fifth season on Apple TV+. Elsbeth will get a second season on CBS. And the huge hit Prime Video series Fallout, which I talked about briefly last week, will get a second season on Prime Video. So congratulations to Fallout. There will be more of that to come. With that, let's move on along to the last section of the show. This will be a shorty today. Which is the movies section, which we always start with the weekend box office numbers. Your number one movie in the land this week is Civil War with another $1.1 million. That's at $44.8 million domestic. Number two, Abigail, coming in at $10 million. Wait a minute, that's got to be a typo because there's no way that $1.1 million beat $10 million. So I'll assume that's at 11 or 10.1 or 11.1. Safe. But Abigail made $10 million this week. That's its debut. Number three, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, made another $9.5 million. That's at 171. Number four, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, debuted at $8.9 million this week. And number five, Spy X Family Code, White, debuted to $4.8 million. Not as popular as some of the anime movie premieres that we've seen so far in the last few years, but still, making that top five is nothing to sneeze at. This week, only one big new release this week, but it's the one that if you love Zendaya, that you've been really looking forward to, which is Challengers, the tennis film in which Zendaya finds herself in a love triangle. So check that out in theaters this week. All right, let's move on into movie news to wrap up the show today. And this week we're talking about the production studio Participant. The 20-year-old film and television production company, whose mission was to inspire social justice and humanitarian action, is shutting down. Founder Jeff Skoll broke the news to a staff of roughly 100 on Tuesday. Established in 2004, Participant co-produced or co-financed a number of notable movies, including Best Picture Oscar winners Spotlight and Green Book, as well as Steven Spielberg's Lincoln and the breakthrough documentary An Inconvenient Truth. It's a pretty stellar record right there. No new content development or production will be pursued, and what's left will be a skeletal holding company overseeing the existing Participant library, which represents interests in the 135 movies that it has made. This is a sad one. All those movies are beloved. A lot of those movies are well awarded, and two of them are Best Picture winners. It sucks when you see a studio that's been successful have to close its doors, I'm assuming because of money issues. And it's especially rough considering that this was a studio with a mission. Like, to inspire social justice and humanitarianism is, like, quite a, you know, a, no, a, no, a noble goal. So, like, the fact that somebody was out there doing it and it was working and it was working well, it's sad to see that go. And it's sad to see that kind of that energy and that spirit go away. So I would love to see, like, another studio try to rise up to this level and try to do the same kind of thing with a similar kind of mission. I would love that. But who knows where that would come from? Who knows what that would be at this point? And it sucks that the one that was kind of holding the torch here is now sadly defunct. So yeah, pour one out for all the people who worked at Participant, and yeah, go watch some Participant movies to go celebrate the legacy of that studio. It did some great work. All right, that will do it. That's it for movies, and that'll be it for me here at the Media Boat Podcast. It'll just be me for at least one more week after that in May, possibly two, but soon we will get Mike back for regular shows as we have done before. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, thanks for joining me here at the Media Boat Podcast. If you want to see us in all sorts of forms, we exist in all sorts of forms. We are multi-layered like that. You can find us on the internet, as I mentioned earlier in the show, at mediaboatpodcast.com. If you want to see our videos, go to YouTube and search Media Boat, find our channel. You can like, subscribe, leave comments. You can even click the bell to get notified when we put up new videos. You can find us in audio form on podcast services such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, where else, where else, where else? iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, search Media Boat Podcast and you should find us. You can also find us on twitch.tv/MediaBoat, where Mike has been playing all sorts of different Final Fantasies. He's been playing Rebirth, he's been playing the DLC for Final Fantasy 16. He's everywhere! If there's a Final Fantasy, he's playing it. So tune into that. And if you want to ask us questions, you can email us at mediaboatpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, and social media, we're Media Boat on those too. Just search us, and you'll find us. Like I mentioned, you can find my write-up for the Tortured Poets Department on the website, as well as more going up there soon, like the weekly week list and all sorts of other stuff. So yeah, there you go. You have your mission. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to find us on all sorts of different platforms. Until next week, where we will be back, or at least I will be back, for a new episode of the show. So, stay tuned, see you guys next time, and have a good one. Bye.